This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. It's good to be back here at the Toastmasters podcast. My name is Bo Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
And we have a wonderful show for you today, as we do all shows. Ryan, who are we speaking with?
Today, we're going to be speaking with Matt Abrahams. Matt Abrahams is a professor of speech communication at De Anza College and Stanford University's Continuing Education Program. Matt is a passionate, collaborative, and innovative coach and educator. When not teaching, he runs Bold Echo Communication Solutions, a presentation skills firm. He has published research articles on communication apprehension, persuasion, and interpersonal communication. Matt recently published a book on public speaking anxiety management entitled Speaking Up Without Freaking Out. Prior to teaching, Matt held senior leadership positions in several leading software companies. And Matt has also published an article entitled Know Thy Fear in the April 2011 edition of the Toastmaster magazine. That's the topic of our discussion today. Matt Abrahams, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome, Matt. Hey, thank you guys. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Great to have you with us. So, Matt, I understand your article shares an approach to speaking anxiety that goes beyond the symptoms, the quivering voice, the dry mouth, the sweaty palms, gets to the root causes of the anxiety. Sounds promising, but also sounds a little scary. You're not going to get Freudian on us today, are you?
No. We stay away from Freud, but I think it is important for folks to explore where their anxiety comes from so they can best target particular anxiety management techniques.
All right. Gotcha. Sounds good. So, Matt, before we get into some of the tips and suggestions that you have for us, how'd you get involved in the whole area of research and education related to speaking anxiety?
Oh, it's an embarrassing story. It dates back to when I was 15 years old. I was forced by some high school English teachers and my parents to compete on our speech and debate team. And in my very first tournament, very first time up in front of a group of people, I was doing a speech on karate. And I was so nervous, I forgot to put on my proper karate pants, so I was in these normal jeans. I started my speech with an attention getter that involved a karate kick, and I literally ripped my pants from belt loop to zipper in the first 10 seconds of a 10-minute speech, and that mortified me. And ever since that day, I have been fascinated with anxiety that comes with speaking and how to manage it. So nobody has to go through the embarrassment that I went through.
Yeah, that's when you started psychoanalysis as well.
That's exactly right. My parents had not only a college fund set up for me, but a psychoanalysis fund set up for me.
Did you finish that speech, or did you have to excuse yourself and put on
appropriate... I did finish the speech with my speech coach's pink sweater wrapped around my waist.
Ah.
This was in front of my peers and in fact, the girl that I was interested in dating at the time. It was horrific.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Have you ever heard from her again?
No.
Okay. Matt, I also noticed in your article you refer to, instead of speaking anxiety, you use the term communication apprehension. Is that the politically correct term, or the term used in academia, or what?
It is the term from academia, yeah. Communication apprehension refers not only to the fear people have of speaking in public and the anticipation of speaking in public, but it also refers to the fear that some people experience in interpersonal communication as well. So it's sort of a broad-based umbrella term.
Gotcha. Are the two very different in terms of techniques and ways to handle the situations?
So fear that comes with interpersonal situations, a lot of the techniques also work for public speaking anxiety. Mm-hmm. Because public speaking anxiety is a more controlled, prepared situation, there are techniques that are designed just for that environment.
Gotcha. Good. All right. Well, let's get into the three types of speaking anxieties. I understand the first is situation anxiety. What's that all about?
Right. So situation-based anxiety as a source refers to when you're speaking in front, it's where you're speaking. So many of us wouldn't be nervous if we were sitting around a coffee table talking with our friends about a particular topic. But if you transport us into a room in front of 10, 15, 100 people talking about that same topic, that's when we become anxious. So it's really the situation in which we do the communicating mm-hmm. that causes the anxiety.
So what do you think that is? Do you think it has to do with live people there? Like right now, you are communicating in front of, it could be tens of thousands of people.
Wow.
Yeah. And you would think that, I would guess that you're probably a lot less nervous now here.
Not that you said that.
Yeah, now you're thinking, oh gosh, what did I get myself into?
Now, I'm shaking in my shoes right now.
Rather than sitting in front of an audience and delivering the same talk in front of 100 people. So does it have to do with the size? Does it have to do with their physical presence? I mean, what exactly defines a situation, if there are any ways to define a situation?
That's a great question. There's a lot of interesting new research on how people do feel anxious when giving presentations over the web or via conference call. So it's the same sort of situation where you don't see the people, but you know they're there. Right. I personally think this goes back to the fear of being evaluated, the concern for how we come off in front of other people. So while when you have the bodies in front of you looking at you, that evaluation is much more imminent. Right. When there's something between you and the audience, it's probably a little less, but you still feel that evaluation fear.
Right. I got to tell you, at least with doing podcasts and talking to people this way, you don't get a lot of heckling going on.
Yeah, which is true.
Right.
Except, I could start if you'd like.
Yeah. I was going to say, except when it comes from Ryan or it comes from me, heckling
that's
Ryan.
True. Right.
Or heckling our guest before the show.
There you go.
I can say I've had a situation, Bo will, I'm sure, remember it because he was there. I've been a member of Toastmasters for several years, and both in an advanced club as well as a non-advanced club, if you would call it that, and was doing a role at a district conference one time. And I guess it was the situation. I, for some reason, just, I don't, how would you describe it, Bo?
I'm trying to think of the situation. There's been so many of them. Which one are you talking about?
That's not nice. A situation where I just felt really extremely uncomfortable and symptoms of nervousness manifested.
I think I remember saying that, but it didn't show. Because I remember you
said that my head looked like it was about to explode.
Okay, so that was a different time then.
That's actually an interesting point you bring up. Often the experience of anxiety that we feel is not perceived by the audience.
Right.
And there's a tremendous amount of research to suggest that actually the anxiety the audience perceives is about half as bad as the speaker's report. So so I would just rely on Bo's perception there, Brian, and take it at that.
Gotcha.
As long as I didn't say the thing about your head exploding.
Oh, that's true.
So obviously one way to manage this, Matt, would be simply to choose speaking situations where you're speaking to a small audience that you're comfortable with. But that's not going to get you straight to the top, is it?
That's kind of taking the cheap way
it
out.
It is, yeah. So
that's avoiding rather than management, isn't it?
Exactly.
I'm sure you can do better than that.
Many of the people I work with tell me that their careers are limited because of their anxiety. They just they can't do what they need to do to move up in their careers, and that's why they come to read the book or to get some coaching or classes from me.
Yeah.
So what can we do to speak up without freaking out when we're in front of a large, intimidating audience?
So the research suggests that a really useful technique, and one that everybody can practice, is to reframe the situation rather than being a performance into is we call a conversation. So a performance is where you feel as if you're being evaluated. If anybody has ever done any acting before, you know that there's a right way and a wrong way to follow what's on the script.
Mm-hmm.
And in conversation, we don't have that right way or that wrong way. So to reframe the experience as a conversation is really helpful for situation-based anxiety. And the way you do that, there's several techniques. First is how you prepare and practice. So if you know the situation causes your anxiety, a great way to practice is to sit around a coffee table or a dinner table with your friends or family and talk through the presentation as if you were having a conversation with them. Mm. This gets you used to talking conversationally. It helps you practice that way, and it will transfer when you actually stand up in front of others. But that's not all. That's preparation. When you're actually speaking, speak in a way that is conversational. Use people's names. Use the word you, so this is an important topic for you, or this has value for you. Mm-hmm. And by connecting it that way, it sounds like a conversation, and it brings you into conversational mode. And for many people for whom the situation is the cause of their anxiety, this really, really helps.
Gotcha. I'm not sure if this is your area of expertise, but would you say this is the same advice for a contest speech?
So absolutely. My experience with serving as evaluators for contest speeches is the conversational tone is very much appreciated. And if one can practice in that way, you get the added benefit of reducing your anxiety and fitting the expectations of those evaluating the presentation.
Right. Is it fair to say that this conversational style will make the audience more comfortable in listening to you? Because I know, obviously, if you've been in an audience before and you've seen a speaker like Ryan, his situation that he described, when you see the speaker get very nervous and uncomfortable, it makes you uncomfortable. So when somebody is working on a conversation, it makes you feel at ease and you enjoy the presentation more.
Absolutely. In fact, your audience mirrors your emotional state. So if you're nervous and anxious, the audience feels uncomfortable and nervous and anxious, and that's not good for you trying to get across your message. So if you can come across conversational, or if you can actually mask some of the telltale signs people have over anxiety, then you can actually make your audience more comfortable and they're more receptive. In the book, I talk about these techniques that are called fake it till you make it. And in essence, it's just covering up the tells that people give, such as swaying or not looking people in the eyes, so that you cover those up so people don't see the sign of anxiety, and then they don't think you're anxious, and they treat you as if you're confident. And when you're treated as a confident speaker, you begin acting like a confident speaker. So getting that right, getting your emotions controlled so that your audience feels comfortable is very important.
All right. Makes a lot of sense.
So number one is control the situation. What's number two?
Number two, the second source of speaking anxiety is the audience, right?
Absolutely. So audiences vary. They vary in size. They vary in relationship to the speaker, the power, the status they have relative to the speaker. So the audience can get really, really under somebody's skin and make them very nervous. Mm. When I analyze my own anxiety about speaking, this is truly where mine comes from. In my profession, when I get up in front of other people who teach public speaking, I get very nervous. I'm not so nervous speaking in front of others. So it's the audience that makes you nervous.
Right. I got to inject with a quick story here. I don't know if I told this story before, but the one, and there's been a few times that I got nervous during a speech, but the one time I got really nervous when I couldn't even speak anymore, I had to get a glass of water, was when I was giving a speech on public speaking in front of just a Toastmasters group. So I was positioned as the expert of public speaking, and I was in front of this group of Toastmasters, and that whole thought, I kept on thinking in my head, oh my goodness, I'm giving a speech on public speaking. What if I screw up in public speaking? What if I screw up on the speech? Then isn't it just kind of ironic? And this is like the worst thing to do, so don't do it. And of course, that's all I'm thinking about. And when you think, you know, not, or you can't think of a negative, you're thinking of doing it. And sure enough, boom, bad speech.
Right. I'll let you in on a little secret for those of us who do this for a living. The first thing we start classes with is, do as I say, not as I do.
I like it.
Yeah. See, that would have got me off the hook there.
Yeah, totally.
There you go.
Darn it, why did I think of that?
Right. So, and what else, Matt, could Bo have done in that situation?
So when it comes to the audience, a very useful technique is visualization. And visualization is something many people have experience with if they played athletics. Often coaches tell players to visualize doing whatever the sport requires, getting the ball in the basket, hitting the ball with the bat. And visualization, sports psychologists tell us, actually improves performance almost as much as actually doing the event. And the same is true for managing speaking anxiety. If you visualize your audience, the room in which you're speaking, who's part of that audience, often we speak in front of groups where we know who we're talking to. And if we don't know specifically, we know what types of people that we'll be talking to. And by visualizing that situation and seeing it in our minds in advance of speaking, so this is not something you do 2 seconds before speaking, this you do a few days before. What it does when you actually get up in front of that audience is you've seen it before in your mind's eye, so there is no surprise. In other words, it's a form of desensitization, so you are less sensitized because you've seen it before. And that seems to really help. There's research for over 3 decades on visualization and its effect on public speaking anxiety, and it really, really helps.
So, Matt, the third type of speaking anxiety has to do with your goal. I guess, you know, what's at stake if you fail this presentation or don't achieve your goal? Is that right?
That's correct. So it's the fear of the future consequences. Mm. It's not getting the job. It's not getting the promotion. It's not getting the grade. It's not getting the message across in the way you wanted. So the fear comes from the future consequences. And naturally, that leads to a particular remedy or management technique, which is to become more present oriented. So rather than worrying and focusing on the future consequences, I get myself into a very present oriented state, and I'm just there for my audience, giving them the information that they need.
And of course, the $1 million question is, how do you get there? Is it meditation?
How do you do that? Right. And everybody at some point in their life has probably experienced one of these very highly present oriented moments. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's while listening to music or having a really deep conversation. There are lots of different techniques on how to get there. I know a professional speaker. He's paid $10,000 a speech, and he does 100 push-ups before he gets up on stage. Of course, he starts out of breath and all sweaty, but doing something physical can help you be in the present moment. There are other techniques. Listening to music is a wonderful tool. Often you'll see athletes, before they compete, listening to a playlist, and that really helps them focus. Mm. A technique I like to do for myself and encourage people I work with to do is to say tongue twisters. Something as simple as a tongue twister forces you to focus immediately on what you're saying so you don't mess it up.
Mm. Give us an example of a tongue twister.
My favorite tongue twister, and the reason I like it, is if you say it wrong, you say a naughty word. Oh. It's, I slit a sheet I slit, and on that slitted sheet I sit.
See, I was going to try to repeat it, but now
this is a family program.
Buff. Family show. We can't do that now. All right, I'll try it.
Years of practice, years of practice.
Gotcha.
Well,
that's
done.
That's pretty good. I'm going to share with you one of my favorite techniques to clear the mind and really focus on the moment. Before I do pretty much anything that requires my full attention, I like to write things down. Like, I just take out a piece of paper and write everything that's on my mind, so I kind of clear my mind. I did that with one of my presentations once to the audience. I said, all right, everybody take 2 minutes right now, take out a piece of paper and a pen, and write down everything that's on your mind, so they could actually focus on
start
me
with clear space.
Exactly,
yeah.
What I had to say.
Yeah. So that's a wonderful technique, and it's a technique that others use, not just for speaking anxiety, but before, like, tests, taking exams, people will use that. That's a great technique.
Thanks. Well, I call that the bow technique, and it's trademarked. So if you want to use just make
there
sure you
go.
Send some...
Royalties will be coming your way.
Quarter, 25 cents every time you use it.
If you want your IQ to go up a few points, Bo, you could call it distributed cognition. How's that sound?
Very nice.
Did you make that up, or is that a real technique?
That's a real word.
A real thing?
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So Matt, this has been great. Really good stuff, really practical suggestions that we can all implement for our next speech for sure. Tell us a little bit more about your book, Speaking Up Without Freaking Out. What can we expect if we pick up a copy of that book?
So the book, it contains at least 25 practical techniques that are based on academic research to help people with the anxiety they feel in the course of preparing for a presentation or during a presentation. And not only does it include very specific techniques with guidance on how to perform those techniques, it also talks about some behaviors that we do that get in our way of actually being relaxed and calm. Things like preparing at the last minute, procrastinating, etc. So it's a pocket book. It's not very long. It's about 75 pages. The goal was to be able to read it when you get on an airplane flight, and by the time you land, you've read the book, you feel confident, you're ready to go give that presentation that you need to give. Mm. There really isn't much out there that really very specifically targets the anxiety people feel while preparing a speech and while giving a speech. And I hope the book provides people with very specific practical skills that they can use.
Sounds fantastic. We've already got some pure gold from you here on this show. So if it's anything like what you've shared with us, I'm sure it's...
icing on the gold.
There you go. I hope it provides value to people.
All right, cool. And how about a little quick word on Bold Echo Communication Solutions?
So Bold Echo, the name comes from the fact that we want all speakers to be authentic and bold in their presentation, and we want their message to resonate and echo in the minds of their audience after they leave. And what we do is we run workshops as well as do individual coaching for people in need of a particular keynote presentation, or perhaps they're part of a conference. The whole point is, what we're trying to do is empower people to give their message in a way that they feel comfortable and confident doing.
Sounds great. And where can people go to find out more about your company, your book?
Excellent. Thank you for asking. So Bold Echo is www.boldecho.com, and the book can be ordered from Kendall Hunt Publishing. If you do www.kendallhunt.com/Abrahams, A-B-R-A-H-A-M-S, you can get the book.
All right. That's great, Matt.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And it was wonderful speaking with you. And like Ryan said, the information that you provided was invaluable. You get so much more than you just get out of the Toastmasters article.
There you go. Well, thank you very much for your time. I've enjoyed this. And like I said, I hope people find value and feel a little more comfortable and confident when speaking.
I'm sure they will. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you. Great. You take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Great conversation. Awesome job. Hey, Ryan, do we have any feedback?
We don't have any listener feedback this week, Bo.
Okay, I thought I'd ask just to, a man could wish.
That's right. But we would love to hear from our listeners, our normally communicative Toastmasters audience. A few ways you can get in touch with us. You can leave us listener feedback voicemail at 1-888-451-8862. You can send us an email, podcast@toastmasters.org. Find us on Twitter @TheTMPodcast. And you can also send us an email. Oh, I already said that, didn't I? Did I leave something out, Bo? Oh, you can post on our blog at toastmasterspodcast.com.
All right. All right, until next time, my name is Bo Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
It was great being on with you guys again. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.